against the rules of practice inside, you know. And when you work with a guy like Joe Gibbs, who had a philosophy, it was about repetitions. Now, I think Jim's doing that too. You know, we try to get as many plays in as you can. You go outside sometimes, guy slips and falls, you know, you don't get as good execution. And Marty in 97, I think it was, took us outside, about 3 feet of snow. He got pneumonia. We lost the playoff game with a bye. So I learned my lesson by going outside.
Can you talk about Delmas? Just, I mean, he looked a little friskier today than he has in a while. And just what have you missed with him? And you know.
Well, I think that's a great question. You're starting to see what I've seen all the time. When he gets frisky, he's usually ready. When he's over there not talking much, then you've got a ways to go for him to get it healthy. We've really missed him. I think Chris Harris done a great job, and he and Amari Spivey probably played the best safety game they could have played last week. And two of the four DBs that played most of the time, Chris Houston probably had the best game he's ever had here. And Amari definitely, he had the best safety game I've seen him play. So we've gotten through a couple of games without Lou, but we really need him back because we can do more things when he's with us. You know, he's good at man-to-man. He can cover wide receivers, and he really tracks the ball. We've been hurt with a couple of screens until last week. We took care of that too. But usually when Lou's in there, you don't get many screens on us.
How much influence does do field conditions, especially field conditions, have on your play calling and attack and how you plan to?
Well, you know, it affects both teams, and I don't care. You know, we're from Detroit. We go through the weather. Now we play indoors with a great stadium, probably best one in the league. But, you know, I've coached up at Green Bay, I coach at Kansas City, and weather affects both sides, and it depends what they try to do. I coached the Raiders 1 year as a coordinator, and we went up there, and it was like the coldest game in history at that time. And there were 14 punts on both sides, you know, their team and ours, and their guy caught a 60-yard touchdown pass, and we lost 7-3. So, you know, it just depends on how the game goes and what you call. And you do, whether it's inside or outside, you know, whether it's raining, snowing, playing on the beach, you got to always adjust. And one of the things that I think is important, you know, people always say, well, you game plan. It's the adjustments you make during the game. And I think we're really good at that. And between Jim and myself, we've done this a long time, you know, and we're always interacting during the game. So, and the players are good. We got good linebackers. They're smart. Safeties are good. They're smart. So, you know, it just depends what the weather condition is and how we'll call it.
How much Matt Flynn do you expect to see Sunday?
I read an article this morning where he sounds like he's getting ready to play, but, you know, we played him last year. He's a good quarterback. You know, if he plays, I would expect him to do the same thing. And knowing Mike, you know, he likes to throw the ball. That said, you know, in the past, he's always run against every team, no matter what back he's had. So I don't think they'll go away from their offense if Flynn plays. They didn't last year. They didn't against New England. He had a great game against New England. It wasn't his fault that they lost that one. But, you know, we're just kind of getting ready for ourselves, and whoever goes out there, we're playing.
John, what specifically does Cliff do from the defensive end position that fits your scheme and what you like from your defense?
That was a bad question. That was the wrong question to ask me right now. You know, obviously the Pro Bowl thing went by, and what Cliff does is he turns games around. You know, he's had 6 fumbles caused, 3 recovered, intercepted 1 for a touchdown, scored another touchdown. Well, those are some hefty stats. That's, to me, that's big-time football, and that's what he does. He's a playmaker on defense, and those are rare. It's just like I see where Pierre is an alternate third guy.
Right.
That's what I'd pick him. You know, he had 81 tackles, had 15 sacks or whatever, and the other guys are like, they're not even close to that. The guys that are starting the game. So, you know, to me, it's about production. And Cliff Averill is a producer, big-time producer, makes plays, turns the game around, and that really affects you. We've had, you know, Vandenbosch has caused 4 from the other side. So you got 10 caused fumbles. We have 32 turnovers. We've produced, I don't know how many percentage of our total points as a team, but I know we were responsible for about 80 on defense. So that's, to me, I went through that this morning with players. You know, you talk about rating a defense on yards. yards got nothing to do with it. How many points they score, how many did you turn the ball over to your offense, and we're a very volatile team, you know, so we can get that ball anytime, both intercepted and fumble it. And, you know, my personal history was I was with Marty, and in 10 years we had 132 more than the other teams. That's a lot of turnovers, you know, and Jim's the same way, so we need to keep that going. Cliff's the main cause of that.
What did Saturday mean to you, getting in the playoffs?
It's, you know, everybody that's part of my family goes to the game, they go, why are you never happy? and basically, I'm not happy. You know, I just, well, I think about the next game right away, and the game's so key, you know, energy-wise and emotion. And you know, I told you the week before, and I hope all the people out there believe me. I mean, I've been very emotional. I couldn't finish the team meeting last week on Saturday night. I said, leave. I said, I can't talk about this anymore. What had happened is I was talking about Detroit and the people and how we got to do this for the city and all the people in the state. I looked out through the windows, you know, and that's when it really hit me. So basically, that's what it meant to me. It was about Detroit. It wasn't about the Lions going back to playoffs. It was about doing something for all those people that buy those tickets and supported us when we weren't very good and hoped that we would be good. Fortunately, we had a strategy and we knew what we were doing, I think. You know, Jim's done a great job. He's probably going to get mad at me, but I want to say this anyway. Last 5 minutes of the game, you know, we were in pretty good control of the game. And he was feeling good. I was feeling good. And I told him over the headset, I said, oh, it took you 3 years. You know, you're not as good as I thought you were. and right away he got off, you know, on me. And I shook his hand and congratulated him because it's really been a great, you know, ride. And I knew he was on the right track. And I do believe that about the rest of the people in this building. We're all on the same page. So my thoughts were more about us and the city of Detroit and what we've done. And hopefully that they're proud of us.
You so know, you go home happy after the game?
No, my wife, my mother was here. They both left me, and I rode home with a very good friend. And I've ridden home with her and her niece the last 2 weeks, so I'm keeping it up. And I think my wife's going to get mad about it. But, you know, with me, I'm pretty superstitious about stuff like that. So. But, you know, I think it's been a great year for because we were down at midpoint and people said we're pretenders and I knew we weren't, you know, it's just a matter of things happen. And I go back to San Francisco and Atlanta game. Those two games probably upset me more than anything that's happened here the last 3 years on defense because we had a chance to stop them. And we've done it now, I don't know how many times on fourth down, you know, since then, made big plays. And those two games really stick with me, and I can't get over them.
One last question, guys.
You've seen a lot of coaching performances. Do you think what Jim's done this year is worthy of Coach of the Year honor?
No doubt. I think it's a joke that he's, you know, I mean, how can you not vote Coach of the Year? What he's done coming in here, when I first got here, I went, uh-oh, this is going to be tough. And I told him several times that you never told me how tough this job was going to be. And fortunately, like I said, Martin and Tom and all the people in the front office, we are on the same page. I think he's done a magnificent job. I am so proud of him. And, you know, from the day that he took the coordinator job at Tennessee, I was there that first year. And he thought he wasn't very good. He was learning. I said, Jim, I knew you were good the first day I ever met you. He's consistent. He's tough as nails. And he will not give in on anything. You know, there are times when I see the team's a little bit tired. That's why he's going to give him a break. No way. He won't do it. And the only guy I've ever been around like that, and I made mention of this a long time ago, is Marty Schottenheimer. I mean, I've never seen two guys that are closer. And Marty won 67% of his games. And I think Jimmy's going to do the same thing. I work for him. He's my boss. I totally respect him. I'm loyal to him. But he's my friend, too. And I've had an emotional real couple of weeks. And when you talk about him, it really gets to me. Because people have no idea how good he really is. And, then, you know, the driving force, you see all the players we've gotten. Well, you don't see all the work that's done by that guy and how we work at it in every phase. And the funny part is, he is big on fonts. We have all these presentations, and Brandon Fisher is one of our young coaches, and every Wednesday night we have a third down meeting, and Matt Burke and Chris Kasarig and Tim Walton and I kind of sit on the edges, and Jim will ask Brandon a question, and he'll go, well, on page three, you should move this diagram over here and this one up here. And a couple of times, the veteran coaches that are around, we look at each other, and we have to put our head down because we know, Jim, if you don't use the right fonts, you're screwed. Boy. You've got to do it all over. And he's done it to me plenty of times, you know. And I go, you know, I've been coaching all my life, and Jim was probably in high school when I started. But you do it, and I think that story kind of tells you what he's all about. Because in all seriousness, it's funny right now, it is tough when he gets on that track. Boy, you know, if you misspell a word or something like that, he is all over you, you know. And I think that's the detail part of him, and that's what makes the team go.